America.
The DL Debate, presented by Brendan Devaney, in association with Sarah's Kitchen and Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love. Book now to enjoy the Sarah's experience.
Hi, one and all. Welcome to another packed show of the DL Debate, the championship review in all GAA in Donegal and across the province. We have Frank Craig from the Donegal News reviewing the Donegal Championship, and Ronan Scott from the Gaelic Life newspaper on the Tyrone Championship and all the news across Ulster, and a few special guests under the guise of Aidan Tierney. That's all coming up on the show in the next hour. Now we turn our attention to the Senior Championship in Donegal with Donegal News reporter and boss of Ryan Ferry. We have Frank Craig on the line. How are you, Frank?
I'm not too bad, Brett. How are you keeping?
Ryan was giving you a touch the last time here. It's only right we give it back to him, you know?
Oh, without a doubt. If you give it, you have to take it.
So, Frank, listen, we're going to look back to a bit of action from the weekend and, of course, the draw ahead. And Oisin Kelly's with me here looking through the screen. He says his calculator out today. He has thrown all sorts of possibilities and who's going up and who's going down and who's going sideways. I'm sure you were at it yourself this morning, having that kind of professor's brain that you do.
Funny, something that we chatted about yesterday, just as the paper went to bed, myself and Ryan, and we were just looking at it. And I think, you know, even before we go into next weekend, I mean, I know this was thrust upon us because of COVID and all that there, but the CCC, I have to say, it's been really exciting to date. I know the cream will probably inevitably rise to the top in terms of the big four come maybe quarterfinals, semifinals. But it's really interesting at the top and at the bottom going into this last weekend. And that's all we could have really asked for, you know, at the outset of this here. So listen, I'm excited because it's so competitive in terms of who might go into this relegation four and yet who might be, you know, sixth, seventh, eighth in that there senior championship last eight at the very top. So no, I'm excited.
Well, Frank, it's so competitive maybe from a point of view of getting the calculator out, but, you know, if you look at the weekend there was hammerings in nearly every game. I mean, we had one draw, obviously McCool's and Glenfinn, which was a feature game here in Highland. I mean, Bundoran and Milford, you know, wasn't too bad. St. Michael's, our draw, there was very little in it, but the rest of the games were massive hammerings. And we're looking at their own championship from yesterday. I'll be chatting to Roland Scott later. All their games were nip and tuck and real, real tight matches. So I know we've got the big group in here and it's a completely different format, but there is, those top teams seem to be so far ahead of the rest, you know, and it doesn't do anybody any good. It doesn't do them any good winning games by such a margin as well. And it's just, when you see those results coming through, you're at them games, you're just like, you know from the outset what's going to happen. And it's very hard to analyse those games when there's such a gulf between the teams.
Without a doubt. Well, there's two ways to look at this here. You can say that there's a divide there. And listen, there is a divide. There's a top four. And I think what this here has shown us already, that gap is getting bigger, Brent. Anybody that watched Kilkerran and St. Unions, I mean, 2 weeks ago, they're operating at a completely different level now, inter-county level. And Niamh Connell and Gwydor obviously fall in that bracket too. But listen, in a lot of counties, there's a big one. If you're very lucky, there's a big two. I think we're blessed at the minute in Donegal that we have a big four. And listen, it's up to the others to maybe get up to speed, get their houses in stock and strive to be at that their level. I think obviously it won't happen this year, but next year, the year after, whoever comes out of Donegal now are genuine Ulster club contenders. And I think we should look at the positive. You know, it depends if your glass half full or glass half empty. I think, you know, I don't know, last remember when we had four sides. Maybe you're going back, you know, to that heyday of the 80s, 90s when the Killybays, Glens, Kilkerrans were about Aroas. But, I mean, I think this is fantastic. I think if you get those four sides come quarterfinals, semifinals, I mean, you're talking about serious, serious competition. The gap is worrying. You have to kind of wonder why the gap is there, maybe from fifth back to 16 in that senior championship. But what I will say, any game that hasn't involved that their top four, I mean, they've been competitive. I was at for Masters Dunlow at the weekend. Great game. You're looking forward to this weekend. I mean, you're looking at Dunlow, Killybegs. That there is going to be tight. Ardrah in their own patch. Bundoran's going to be tight. Terriman were so unlucky to draw Niamh Connell and Kilkerran, but them welcoming St. Noel's to the bridge, that's going to be tight. It just depends what prism, what perspective you look at this here. But I think to have four sides that we currently have at the top of Donegal football, they're at a serious level of conditioning, serious level of talent, and a serious level of application. And listen, you have to say well done to them, but I think it's up to the rest maybe to strive and, you know, and try and raise the bar within their own clubs and own parishes.
Yeah, listen, Frank, it's a good point. I guess maybe it's Tyrone has a very different championship, and you're right. Every other county does have that mix of players. I guess I was just looking across thinking that looked like it kicked out. And the small thing probably in that, Frank, was that whenever Unions and Kilcar played each other, the game didn't really probably hit the heights. I think that's what I'm looking at in our championship. You know, there's been some decent games in there, but they were the only ones of the supposed big four. And, you know, it wasn't the best of matches. So I'm still waiting, I suppose, for the liftoff. There's been some great games. Myself and Oisin were up at the McCool's Glenfinn game on Saturday evening. It was a great match and a lot of heat there. Oisin had the air conditioning unit in beside him. You know, he's pampered, well pampered at this stage.
There's no pampering up there in the top floor of the press area on Saturday, Brendan, because it was just a sweat box. But I think the first half of that game was probably one of the best halves of football we had in the championship. And we knew that the two teams, McCool's and Glenfinn, were very much evenly matched. And I think a draw was a fair enough result for them. And both of them, of course, I think will be okay for a quarter-final spot, and they're going to remain in the championship. And that's obviously was going to be their target at the start of the season. Well, they would have hoped to stay in senior football, and to get the quarter-finals a bonus for them.
Do you think there's something about McCool Park, guys? And the conditions was perfect. Now, everybody's doing their own version of 13 behind the ball, or if they can get the 15, they get them. But there still seems to be gaps on Balbuffet. Now, it was a very hot evening. The legs were going in the second half, and the second half was fascinating. Level at half time, and then went point for point for point. Nobody could get away from anybody else. McCool's have felt though were the better side in that second half.
They went three up, if you remember, as well. So they did in the game at one stage, and you thought maybe they might knock on from this, but Glenfinn answered them and pulled the game back level. And then really in the second half after that, it was sort of point for point. You go to Oisin Gellin missing that free that you would have expected him late in the game to knock over. Maybe
how do you knock? I think he made it got a dead leg the week before.
Yeah, he took a knock the week before. Yeah. So he did, and he may have taken a knock again in that game, but he knocked it wide, and if he had scored that, it would have been different today. But give credit, Glenfinn, and never rule Jared Ward out. What did he score the day before? 110, wasn't it, Frank? He got the day before, and he wasn't really in the game in the first half up until the closing stages of the first half, but he got their last three scores, so then he got that last point for them as well that could have shared the spoils.
And Martin Gallagher coming up from cornerback, which looked like it could have been the winner right at the day. Some kick.
You've seen the reaction on the bench on the side of the field that his teammates McCool's was on. I don't think they expected him even to try to knock it over the bar, but for a cornerback to come up and finish the classy finish that he had, fair play to Martin Gallagher.
Yeah, and so the table now is looking, obviously, Niamh Conlon, Gidor, a shoe-in, Oisin, for going to the home venue in the quarterfinals. Then after that, things get interesting. I know you've had, looking at the top of the table first, or you want to go to the bottom? Because that doesn't make great reading for a Terrebonne man. But as you said, it's been very tough championship for the lads. But there is even a glimmer of hope there. So listen, we'll go to the bottom first. We'll look at the teams who are looking to play get out of this relegation playoff, and still going into the last day, Oisin, anything's possible.
Well, as Frank said, there is a lot of things can happen come the weekend. And if you go from four masters, there are basically eight from the table down. All of those sides are involved in a dogfight. Now, you would think that possibly four masters could be safe even with defeat, given their score difference, that 2 points against Dunlow last weekend would be enough for them. But the rest of the sides are far from safe. So they are, Brendan. And you could see some change come Sunday. And maybe we're going to have games being a lot tighter this week than what they were in previous weeks. And it'll all have a factor in and score difference and who's going to go to the relegation playoffs and who's going to be among the four teams that's going to be safe. But Terrebonne, of course, at the moment, they're sitting bottom of the table, minus 58 on the score difference, which doesn't make good reading. But in some sort of mad, strange way, Brendan, if things were to fall kindly for them. Now, we did see a horse win in a 300-1 in recent weeks at the Curragh. You could see Terrebonne actually stay up if they won. And the other results around them went their way, which would have to factor in a Dunlow Killybegs draw. We have seen draws already, so don't just rule it out yet. They still are odds on to go to a relegation playoff. But who's going to join them? Is it going to be Ardragh, Dunlow, or Killybegs? Milford, add into the mix Glenswilly, even though they've got a win.
Yeah,
because if they were to lose big against Niamh Connell, and the other games involving the other sides involved were to get favourable results, you would see Glen Swilly possibly drop into the bottom four as well.
Yeah. Well, listen, Frank, what do you think? You're talking about glasses half empty or half full. There's a half full glass there for you now, Frank. What do you think of that?
Well, as Oisin rightly says, you know, Termon could yet leapfrog out of there if there's a draw and that there, Killybegs, Dunlow game. And listen, Termon were seriously unlucky. We talked about Niamh Connell, Kilkear. I mean, they were so competitive against Bundoran. I mean, if they had a draw, somebody maybe of their same standard in any one of those other games, you know, they could still be in with a puncher's chance now, maybe on 2 points. But some of the damage in terms of scoring difference might already be done there. You're looking at that table and you're looking at some of the big games this weekend. You know, Dunlow, Killybegs, there'll not be much in that there, so the scoring difference won't jump too much. Ardrada will take some heart from their performance at St. Michael's, could easily come away with a result there. Down in Pearce Memorial Park against Bundoran, they would hope to keep that there tight. You know, you're looking at Termon St. Nolles. I expect that there to be tight. And listen, Termon could get the one and still go down. Do you know? So, I mean, the Glen Swilly one is the interesting one that Oisin points out there. I mean, if they take a big beating at the hands of Niamh Connell, and out of that top four, Niamh Connell and Kilkear are the sides that go for the juggler. You know, Unions and Gweedore haven't been punching the lights out. Even if they're winning by 10, 15 points, it's Kilkear and Glenties that have really caught the eye in terms of banging up scoring difference. And listen, Glen Swilly, looking at what happened in Kilkear the last day, I mean, you'd fear for them going to Glenties.
I'm going to put you on the spot and give me the relegation playoffs there, Frank. Who do you think?
I think we're looking at possibly Glen Swilly, Ardrada, Termon, Dunlow. I think that's what we're looking at. Listen, I'm hoping, you know, as we've been parochial, that Ardrada get a result against Bundoran. And funny, I have a soft spot for Termon. They're a young side. I would love to see things go their way, but that would be at the expense of Killybegs, unless my mother's a Killybegs woman. So I don't even want to go there. I still get Sunday dinner the odd time when I go over the road. So,
Great stuff, Frank. Interesting. Frank, just flipping up the other end of the table, as much as I suppose Dunlow and Killybegs, you know, they could pull each other into the battle or get each other out. You have, obviously, the big game, St. Unions and St. Michael's this week. And again, that could be the game that follows up the following week. That could be a quarterfinal pair, depending on how that game goes.
Listen, I think, you know, perspective and reality, you're looking at St. Michael's there. They've 3-1s from three. But I wasn't impressed with them the last day against Ardrada. And I don't think they were too convincing either in beating Milford. Listen, granted, they are missing 5 or 6 really, really big players that would make a huge difference coming in there. But they're not going to come in, I think, in time for the St. Unions game at the weekend. So it depends, really. I suppose Kilkear and St. Unions on paper at least dropped a point with that there draw. But I'd expect, obviously, St. Unions to win against St. Michael's and win a bit comfortably. So, listen, you're looking at, as you said, Niamh Connell, Gweedore, no change there. I'd expect you're looking, hopefully, Kilkear, not hopefully, but I think Kilkear might come third, St. Unions. You're looking at Bundoran, maybe St. Michael's, Glenfinn, McCool's. Anything can happen. There's capable of movement there all the time, but I think along the lines of what we've discussed probably is how we're going to see it there. You're looking at first versus eighth. I think we can all agree that it could be Niamh Connell, McCool's. Second, maybe Gweedore, Glenfinn, maybe slip into seventh. Third, Kilkear. They'd be looking at St. Michael's then, who I think will be sixth if they lose next weekend. And then that leaves St. Unions fourth, and if Bundoran get the result in our draft, fifth. So that would be my view in terms of the four quarterfinals.
Yes, good man. And Frank, listen, still, are you putting Niamh Connell, you just mentioned there how Niamh Connell and Kilkear have been blitzing teams all together, maybe versus the other two big sides. Would you put them a small step ahead of the other teams in the county, or is Gweedore still that kind of battle-hardened, hard, tough running team that, when it comes down to it, is able to mix it that bit better?
Not really, because I just think the way Kilkear and Glenties are set up, I think they go for the juggler. There's a coldness about them. They're very much set in their ways. They'll keep the foot on the accelerator, whereas I think Unions maybe just don't have that firepower per se, but 1-15, 1-20. It's still a 50-50 game, I think, when Unions come up against a Niamh Connell or a Kilkear. Gweedore aren't as fluid as they were 2 years ago, getting to an Ulster Championship and winning it. But there's so much individual quality in that Gweedore side. And I've seen them again in Mount Charles. Listen, they weren't convincing. They were 1-2 to 2 points up after 28 minutes. They're not maybe moving as well as they were 2 years ago. But when you have that much quality, and Owen Manalis, the likes of Darrow Boyle, when these boys just wanted to step up, Nisha, obviously there as well. Kevin Cassidy in full forward, didn't do much but came alive in the last quarter. You're looking at Michal Kjaer and that around the middle. I mean, when it comes into, you know, we're talking about that top four, and listen, do you imagine Guidor getting a shot at Niamh Connell in a semi? Do you think they aren't going to lift their game, even though they haven't maybe been going well as they'd have hoped? I think if you get those four sides in any combination against each other in the last four, I think you're talking 50-50 games. I think you're splitting hairs at the minute, talking about styles that if Niamh Connell beat a side by 20 points, but Guidor only beat them by 12. I don't think that's the way to look at football, you know, styles and the way they set up against each other on the day when they're up against each other is what's going to count.
It doesn't seem, if you look at the scoring difference, I suppose, in Niamh Connell with a plus 64, Guidor are sitting on a plus 50. You know, is it a thing where, I think with Niamh Connell, you know, it depends how we're looking at it. Now, last year, obviously, from winning the title, going through Ulster, coming so close against Kilcoo, there's definitely a bounce off that, and you can see it in Niamh Connell. But if you think of that team from the 2 years previous, where they were well off the pace against Kilcare, are we kind of, they haven't played one of the top teams yet. Are we maybe overcooking Niamh Connell a small bit as they come into the quarterfinals of this championship?
I think there's a danger you can overcook any side before you get to knockouts, because even, I mean, people are talking about the form of Kilcare in the regional league before championship, the form they've had against some of the bad sides. I mean, Kilcare every year in the regional, and the all-county league, under different circumstances, have blown sides away. It's when it gets to that acid test of knockout football and the screws turned. You're looking at squads there, Brenton, out of those four, I think Kilcare probably have maybe the least options. You know, they're still their go-to men off the bench around the third, fourth quarter are Mickey Higgerty and Conor McShane, who are in their mid, you know, early to mid-40s. Now, you're thinking of they get an injury or two. Those two come into the start 15, and, you know, the remainder of their bench or their pack seems light. You're looking at St. Union's serious numbers. You're looking at Glenty's serious numbers, Guidor's serious numbers. I think it's how these sides deal with pressure in the last four and how brave they are. I think Martin Regan, to be fair to him, seen that their approach maybe had been too negative, you know, the previous two or three years. They've changed things up. St. Union's are attempting to change things up. I still don't know if they have the required firepower or the experience in that firepower. There's young lads coming through, but it's going to take a year or two for them to develop. Marty Boyle made a very good point last week in the lead-up or the preview to the Termin game. It takes 3 to 5 years now from 18 to 23 before you see the benefits of that S&C. And some of those Unions lads around the 19, 20, 21 mark are still in the middle of that process. So they're coming. You just wonder, are they going to arrive quick enough for this season? Funny, they were my tip at the start of the season, so stubbornly I'm going to stick with them. But there was concerns there maybe in that first half against Kilcare, what could happen maybe in a last four game. They got their act together in the second half, but I wonder, was that due to enlarge? You know, Kilcare lost a man to a red card at one stage, and I suppose they were in control. The Niall O'Donnell thing, they could have came away with that game with a one, but they might have been best served with the draw and maybe looking at some of the things they have to fix and rectify when they do get to maybe the last four and one of those big hitters come Letterkenny men's way.
Brilliant roundup. Frank, just a quick word on the Intermediate Championship. Bunkrana certainly making their presence felt there, top on the table, Niamh Mhaire, Niamh Columba, Fáilcheara again, they're the top four. At this stage, we're seeing a separation between the better sides in that. Of course, this weekend, Éirigh and Fanad playing each other, and they're sitting in position 5 and 6. Have you got a feeling for who's going to take that championship?
I'd say very simple. Bunkrana fair play them straight up and going well there. And Niamh Mhaire, who a side that I thought looked very vulnerable, easy for me to say, before a ball was kicked this year. But, I mean, they've lost so many players. But fair play to the men from the Banks. I mean, they're right up there, second place. You're looking then at traditional big hitters like Ballyshannon, Niamh Columba, and even Clohanaly, who have that there pedigree in senior championship. The worrying thing there, it's so hard to get out of that intermediate championship, Oisin. And the reward for a good season, maybe, you know, getting to an intermediate final, is that you're still there the following year. You know, looking at the bigger picture, I mean, it's probably easier to stay in the senior championship than it is to get out of the intermediate one. And maybe that's a warning for the four sides that might find themselves in that relegation senior playoffs next week. Because I think, you know, a different format I would prefer is maybe to see the two finalists of the intermediate go up and maybe, you know, two come down. Because there's big sides there that if you don't win the intermediate champion, you're stuck in limbo. And Eirua have found that in the past. Nave Columba have found that there in the past. So could you imagine a Killy Beggs, you know, an Ardra or whatever dropping down like that there? You know, they might find it very hard in the years to come to jump back up. But in terms of its quality, the intermediate's a very exciting race. Calling a winner at this stage, I wouldn't really be looking at that there. I think just you're looking at Ballyshannon there, 4 points, Cahunaly 5, Nave Columba 5, Navora 6, Buncrana 6. It's taking shape there. And I think that's probably what you're going to be looking at come the business end as well.
Yeah, and the home advantages are vital as well. I suppose no more than the senior, you know, it's really going to tip the balance. And even though at the minute, obviously, with crowds not there, your home venue's maybe not as much an advantage, but still a big advantage for him.
Ah, yeah, listen, familiarity. Listen, we chat about home pitches and knowing your surroundings. And listen, it is important because you're looking at maybe place kickers, whether that's goalkeepers, lads taking frees. You just feel more comfortable on your own patch with your own posts and your own dimensions, because every pitch, you know, is different. And some of those sides that maybe are free running and that do like to open the legs, you know, would find advantages on their own patch in terms of, and listen, you all have a crowd there of some description. And it's funny in terms of audio now, you're actually hearing a lot more of some of the stuff that might get ruffled with a big crowd there. And that's coming from management benches and maybe the select few that are at the games. Listen, home advantage, regardless of who's paying through the turnstiles officially or unofficially, is still a huge thing in 2020 in Donegal.
Yeah, who's up the trees and who's getting the vantage point is right. Frank, tell me, just about bridging that gap, you know, and I'm just thinking to myself at the weekend when you see some of them hammerings, and I know what you're saying, there's two different levels there. There's still so much interest going on between relegation and teams that are trying to push on. But for the teams that aren't there, Frank, is it a question, do you think, of just massive underage preparation? How do you get a team up to a level where you can compete with the likes of top four? Now, do you need certain coaches in the camp? You know, you can't just take a group of lads and turn them in no matter what manager you have. Does it really go down to somewhere like even 14s, 16s? I know Terman this year, that brilliant minor team from last year, you know, went to an Ulster final, won Donegal. A lot of them have been blooded, but of course then too many at the one time. So is it a matter of doing a Tom Bugs scenario and bringing through, you know, a brilliant underage team and coaching them all the way? Like, what do you think is the template for teams to get back? You know, you talk about your own team, the likes of an Ardra or Killy Beggs, and these have got the base of a team there. How do you get through that talent?
That is part of it. Listen, you reap what you sow, and the talent that is playing in those top four sides at the minute are there because of hard work at underage and because of lads bringing it through. But there's so much at play here now. You know, I was talking to Robert Horley of Dunloe during the weekend. He was saying that usually they get back in January, maybe 5, 6, 7 seniors. So much of their panel is away at college, maybe working outside the county. You know, it's the same in our draft. The top four there at the minute, maybe I'm wrong, but I think a lot of those lads and all those four sides are close or have close proximity to home in terms of work and school. And there's just a cohesiveness there. When they start in January, they start well. They start with proper hard work. And, you know, the ball's rolling, whereas for a lot of other sides, they're waiting for the summer once the lads finally get home from college and stuff. But listen, in terms of the talent, that's work that has to be done in underage. And, you know, you tip your hat to those top four sides. They've that work done. Those players are coming through now. Looking down the line, how do you bridge it? I suppose you have to start at grassroots, as you say, you know, under eights, under tens, and look to bring it through. But the same age-old problem's going to be there when these talents hit 17, 18. You know, they're going to look further afield for work, they're going to look further afield for college, and you just don't have that togetherness. I remember in 2004 when Ardra won a championship, they were going halfway to meet, I think, three lads at most that were working in Dublin in a lead up to a county final. I mean, that's unheard of now, because you're talking about such large chunks, and the better are only going to improve, because you're looking now at likes of Kilkear have 6 or 7 county players, ex-county players at training. I mean, the intensity levels there are jumping. Glenties are experiencing that there. The intensity levels are jumping. Read the same for St. Union's and Gweedore. I mean, the levels that those training sessions must be at, when you compare it to maybe the sides at the bottom ends of the senior championship now, they're just not going to be the same. You know, there's going to be a world of difference, because you just have that core group in each one of those squads. Even St. Union's, I mean, 6 county panellists. You're just talking levels, Brenton. If it can be bridged, I mean, a very interesting point. I was reading Cathal Caravel in the Gaelic Life this week, and he said one of the things that we could see from this pandemic is that we're realising now that a lot of these big multinational companies that lads are leaving the county to work for in Dublin, they're seeing that you actually can still work for these counties from home. So you might see people gravitating back towards the sticks, as we say, moving back towards the less populated rural areas. And maybe that might rejuvenate clubs at lower ends that are struggling for numbers or struggling for interest. So maybe 3, 4, 5 years down the line, we'll see a more vibrant or even club scene across the board, because everybody will have people at home. People will see that you can work from home. I mean, I've been working from home since March. It can be done. And I mean, that was a very interesting point, I thought, you know, and there's already, I think, science and figures pointing that that's starting to happen. I think the housing market, people are looking to relocate back. You're seeing movement there. And I mean, you talk about the cost of living and I suppose just the grind and commute of living in places like Dublin. I've seen players having to come back from London even at weekends on flights, you know, from college, even from Liverpool over the years. So, you know, if this does, I suppose, level out over the next while and we move into 2021, 22, 23, and we do see people coming back, listen, it might balance it a bit. But listen, there's a gap there of four sides at the minute. And as I said at the start of the show, that gap definitely has widened this year. I think the general understanding was that maybe Bundoran and Glenswilly were the next in that bracket outside that top four. But they haven't been able to ruffle or rattle feathers there. And Glenswilly's result at the weekend, they're obviously in transition. Bundoran struggled against Gweedore. Don't look like they are struggling against the Unions. Don't look like they've moved on. So, listen, I think for the here and now, it's going to be more of the same for the next season, two or three, anyway.
Frank, great stuff. That's brilliant words and brilliant roundup there. And he's a man working from home. He's doing great work from home. Very little tea or coffee breaks, I would imagine. And you keep doing your thing there, sir. Thanks for the input this evening.
No problem at all, Ben. Chat soon.
Thanks very much, Frank Craig, for that update. And now we're coming across to the man of many voices. It's Aidan Tierney. We have GAA legend Pat Spillane on the line, and there's rumours of county teams training here, there and everywhere, but at the same time they're not. Pat, what is happening down in Kerry?
Well, look, do you know something, Brendan, to the latest? Look at the dogs in the street. No, listen, every second county is back in training. Except for one, Kerry. Why? Because they're probably the only team that doesn't need to be back training. But look at it, the end of the day, look at the whole COVID pandemic and the whole lot. Look at the big question on everyone's lips is, will there be a championship this year? The answer, no. But, look at, is it the right thing to do? Yes. Why? Well, at least there's no championship. There's no way Dublin can do six in a row.
Certainly, Pat, good man. And another man that's looking to pick up a Christmas Sam, a Christmas championship. And are they training or not? We have James Horn on the line from Mayo.
Hi Brendan. We're like every other county. You know, management, county boards, players, you know, it's very strange times because you know, we're not training, you know, guys are off of their clubs. You know, to be honest, myself and the selectors and the management team, you know, we haven't met the players in around 3 or 4 months, and it's very difficult. We're just I suppose coping with it like every other county. Actually just hold on one second. Killian, Edo, pick two teams there, and remember, one hop, one solo, no more. You gotta move the ball fast. What'd you say?
What are you at the moment?
I'm just down in just down Aldi, here in Castlebar.
You're getting the blue breeze.
I gotta go. It's not one hop, one solo.
Do you know what? And after a tough weekend for a lot of teams in the championship, particularly in the seniors, there was, you know, they called the school of hard knocks. I would think some soothing words from the likes of Morgan Freeman might help a few team managers and team players.
I do believe the post-COVID Donegal Championship was the hardest for some teams. My, oh my, some of the goddamn beatings just last weekend. Terman, Milford, Killybegs, Glenswilly, hell, even Andy Dufresne put up a better fight against the sisters in Shawshank State Penitentiary. That's just the way it was this weekend for these teams. I best get busy losing, or get busy trying. That's goddamn right.
I hope I had some comfort there and for some team managers. You know, looking ahead to the rest of the championship, I think someone with the clout of Mule Mara Hurty might tell us how this championship's going to go.
Well, Brenda, I'd say this much. I think the Donegal Championship this year, I think it will be very close. I think there's a lot of talk of Kilcar this year. You have the McHughes and McBrearty's. But I'd say you could never rule out Gidor this year either. But the one thing that I think every year, no matter what county it is, whether it is Mayo or Kerry or Cork or Monaghan Championships, there's always a dark horse in any year. And I would pick out a dark horse in Donegal this year, or maybe even two. And that would be Fannad United or Swilly Rovers. They're two young teams. And I wouldn't be overly surprised if either of them lifted the Dr. Maguire Cup this year.
Well, forgive me, your lad, he's a long way away in Kerry. And lastly, I'm just thinking, you know, that was harsh enough words there from Morgan Freeman. If there's anybody can give us a bit of hope and teams regrouping and someone that's sorted out the massive problem of Brexit, it's the one and only Boris Johnson. Boris, have you any advice for our teams here in Donegal?
Look, I believe that there were a number of clubs this weekend who, shall we say, had a rather bad day at the office in the championship there in Donegal. So, my advice to the Milford, Killybegs, Glenswilly, Terman, and all those other teams who took rather savage beatings is keep your chin up, because ultimately, if I, as the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, can unify the people of the United Kingdom, and if we can deal with the problem of the coronavirus and the Brexit negotiations, if we can deliver on that, then surely you guys can get yourselves back in contention, work hard, engage with your people, engage with your communities, and I see no reason why, if we can sort Brexit, you guys can't sort yourselves out to re-emerge in the Donegal Championship this year. Good day.
Thanks very much, Bojo, for that advice as Donegal teams look to regroup this weekend. Right, now folks, on the DL debate, we go across the province to see what's happening around the GA scene in the Senior Football Championships. And I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Ronan Scott of Gaelic Life. How are you today, sir?
I'm good. Yeah, loving that the club action is going on. It's great.
Do you know what, Ron? I know at Texi last week you were having a wee bit of a break. Hey, you recharge the batteries. I think that's something that's always needed.
It is. Yeah, I think you need to take a wee bit of time away, but you can't go too far and you end up talking football to somebody. Like I was down in Newcastle and I had boys chatting me, like, tell me how many numbers are at the Ballyholland or at Ballyholland matches, and tell me how big the squads are. It's all go. I think because of lockdown being on, people are so keen, no matter where you go, they're so keen for the GA action to be back.
Yeah, and do you know what, Ron? Not that I always had a big respect for you guys in Gaelic Life covering what you're doing. Now that I'm Donegal and we're looking at all aspects of Donegal GA, that is some stuff that you get through, Ron. It just must be the amount of information that has to come through from the different levels. That is some paper to pull together.
It's a lot of work. It's changed a lot over the past wee while. In the start, we were in a magazine sort of style. Then we moved to a preview paper. We were preview paper for a long time, but lockdown forced us to sort of change our tack. And over the past four months, we've become more of a features paper, and we've looked at analysis and issues and interviews, big interviews and that sort of thing, which has refreshed us a wee bit. We've, you know, got more excited about what we're doing, if you could get any more excited. But yes, it is a lot of work, but you know, I always get embarrassed when I talk to people about what I do for a living, because they sort of like look at you jealously. So you just talk about football all day, is that what you do? You know, but it's great.
I think what you're talking about there, Ron, is that if you just simply like put up the match stats and what happened in a game and who scored what, it's very much like repetitive and it's a bit robotic. What you're saying is what enthusiasts getting into the actual issues and the real stories that maybe make people sit up and go, well, what's that or what's this? Is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
That's exactly it. I interviewed Chris Long on a couple of weeks ago, Chris Lawn of Tyrone Framer in 03-05. And he told me that he loves Gaelic life because of the stories we do with ex-players, players he knew, he played with and played against. He says, I don't really bother with the match reports anymore. I'd rather read about guys I played with and get the stories of what happened and what drives people on. And that's what really got him going. And I, that sort of chimed with me because I think that's what makes the GAA great. A guy said to me one time is, you just got to get more stories in it. You just got to get so many yarns. Because if you go to every club or any team or any man, he's got a great yarn for me about the GAA, about how it affected him. So that's what we're all about. Like, we just want to get those stories, those interesting, funny, intriguing. We want to educate and entertain all those kind of things in everything that we do in the paper, you know?
Yeah, totally agree. Ron, in lockdown, we went to see him and obviously interviewed life stories with all our GAA greats in Donegal, but we went outside as well, went to the likes of Pat McEnany. You know, fascinating stories. You know, Eamon O'Hara, David Brady, Peter Canavan, guys you got all on. And again, their stories going right back to their youth. Yes, same thing. I found that fascinating. And just looking ahead at what happened at the weekend, the Tyrone Championship kicked off. And in Donegal here, we've had a lot of tankings going on. Ron, it hasn't been great to see. There's been a lot of imbalance between the powers that be and a lot of the lower teams. But the Tyrone Championship, which decided to go knockout, not group, which I thought many people were looking at, and people said that's unfair in teams, and there was two schools of thought in that. But I'm just looking at the closeness of the games. It looked like it was an absolutely savage weekend's football in Tyrone.
The Tyrone Championship is an oddity in that any game you go to, you're going to get a close battle, no matter where the teams are in the division. You know, if you think of Trillick came up through the ranks. They came up to intermediate to senior and then won it that year. The example I give about Tyrone football is Tyrone teams are like racehorses. They don't know what price they are. They just all think they're going to run as hard as they can, but they've also got these massive derbies, battles. Like, there's so many rivalries. It's not just neighbours. Like, you've got the East and the West and all that sort of thing. And I suppose that the weekend, the big one of the rivalries was the likes of Clare Island and Clonoe, and then you had the Dromore and Omagh. Those teams, they just love to beat each other, and they always feel like they can beat each other. That's the thing about Tyrone football. It's like the great teams are able to beat a team before they go out onto the field. That doesn't happen in Tyrone. They all think they can win. Like, it doesn't matter. I was in the press box one time with the Tyrone lads, and McNoe McGinn was in there, Paddy Hunter, and I asked them, how is this game going to go? And they said, well, X will definitely win this game. No, this is going to be a board game. It was a thriller. It was like, it went down to the wire. Like, it always happens. Tyrone games will always be as close. So it was no surprise to me that there was so much action and so much close games at the weekend in Tyrone.
Yeah, brilliant. You just said, obviously, Coal Island accounted for Clonoe, Kelly Clacher, Carrickmore, which is a game, pretty much a derby game. Kelly Clacher coming out on top of that. And as you said, the big game there, Oma and Dermore going to extra time. I mean, some amount of drama going on. There's 1.1s in other games. And the semi-finals now set up Coal Island, Derry Laughan. Now, Derry Laughan only beat the Moy by a point, but it was a bit of a late comeback by the Moy. So obviously Trillick are playing Galbally this evening. Now the match should be on soon, and they play Kelly Clacher. So Eric O'Kearn, are they making a bit of a comeback as well? Everyone, would they be in the mix for?
I asked a colleague of mine what he thought of that Eric O'Kearn, and his phrase was, "They're ominously good." Ominously good. He says they've got four players missing. You know, they've obviously got Canavan, O'Goose, and Partanelli, and Peter O'Carton out. He told McCartan's likely to be back, but even without Darragh McCanavan, they're still good. Like, it just it's sort of given that flashback to the great days whenever Ergo was so strong. Like, this is a coming team, but I suppose they've been coming for a while. And also, Owen Robinson was supposed to have sort of, I think he got 1-4 from play, but he's one of the younger guys coming through. But they are a team to watch. You know, they could go far, but you know, just being good at this stage in the Tyrone Championship doesn't matter a lot, because you know, they're all out in the long grass trying to take each other out.
Yeah, if you were to pick, like, if you know, Eric O'Kearn, Dromore looks like it's a game there, but then again, if Kelly Clacher, Trillick, is it possible, Cole Island, is it possible to pick, like, would you have a 1-2 that you think, or is it basically there's six or seven in there that could win it?
There is. I mean, I think the bet. I always thought Donegal and Tyrone were similar in that they and Monaghan as well, in that the prices usually give you a good indication of how close the teams will are. But I would have went for Cole Island at the start, but then the way that Eric O'Kearney are looking, they would be in the mix. Trillick are definitely in the mix, but then, you know, I don't know how, if Cole Island and Trillick meet each other, then that could be a knockout stage. But then if you look at Kelly Clarke, Mark Bradley scored 1-8 at the weekend too, and so they could be coming up the rails as well. But so, yeah, if I was going to number it, I'd say, yeah, Eric O'Kearney 1, Cole Island 2, perhaps, you know, Kelly Clarke 3 or Trillick 3. But, you know, it's the other one is, watch out for Dungannon. I think Dungannon's a team that's going to be coming. Like, they were up last year, stayed up in Division 1 and did well. They are a coming team. A lot of strong under 21 players coming through, and a town team as well. They maybe not this year, but in the next couple of years they'll be coming through. But they might do a job this year, surprise a few teams.
Fascinating stuff there. Obviously there's no games in Derry at the weekend. Just looking around the rest of Ulster, Ronan, has anything popped up? Yeah, I know Cavan Gael surprisingly lost at the weekend. They keep talking about being the county team of Cavan, obviously. Guru McKiernan joining them as well from Swan and Bar, but it wasn't enough to get them across the line.
Yeah, no, they're playing that Rammer team who are very good and have been good for a few years, beating them by 9 points. But I think, you know, Brian O'Connell, Mark Sean Johnson out of it, what did James Brady score, 5 or something for more? Killian Maguire was massive at midfield for Rammer, but I think because of the league structure, you know, don't know, it might actually serve to galvanise the Gaels, you know, it might give them a kick up the arse that they might need. But yeah, it was a shock one, but I don't know, there's probably a few more twists and tails in that one.
Yeah, it's that ominous thing, I suppose, is going back to Tyrone. Donegal here, we seem to, it's kind of shaping up like the top four from last year that were in the semis could end up there again. Like, that's what I'm saying, you just have such an amazing championship at Tyrone. Around the rest of the counties, Monaghan, I suppose, the champs from last year, Clontibret, drew. So Scotstown and Ballybay again, looking like they're going to be in the semis. And there's quite a lot of counties with similar things happening, you know, Down, Monaghan, Kilcoo and that. It's looking like a lot of the same powers are going to be back at the vital stages in the championship.
Yeah, Kilcoo looked very good, like with Conleith Gilligan in there from Ballanderry. You know, he knows how to get a team right. Like, though he did say, I think I saw him on the aftermatch analysis, he said that Mayo Bridge maybe deserved to get more from the game. So you could either maybe take up 2 points there, that you could say maybe Kilcoo are not where they at last year, or perhaps Mayo Bridge are getting stronger, and that will be a test that helped Kilcoo. But I watched some of the scores that Kilcoo made, and they were fantastic. And if they can get more scores on the board, then they could get back there into the Ulster final. But you know, as well, yeah, I saw Pierce Oakes as well at the weekend. They were pretty good too. I thought what was funny was Paul Duffy scored that penalty at the end, and he said when he went up and hit it, you're a forward. He said he had changed his mind whenever he struck it. He kicked it as he was walking up. He says he saw the corner of his eye the keeper moving to his left, and he put it in his right, and I was like, had some performance. I didn't think forwards do. I thought the whole thing was take your decision and put it down into the net.
There's so much penalties on now, and this the technique. Did you see a lot of players watching till the keeper moves? Yeah, the guys is picking up from the soccer boys. Benny Coulter and Mark Poland are in with Longstone there. Is there anybody else? Obviously Warren Point. You know, with the Kilcoo being Ulster champions and that, the Down Championship has that extra wee bit of significance.
Warren Point is that's a good shout, because Warren Point, did they not have Kilcoo beat early on last year? They must feel that they deserved they deserve it this year. It's their chance, you know, because they do have a strong team, also built on a lot of good underage success coming through. Yeah, they definitely have to be one to watch. I was also told that Bransford are a team coming as well. Massive numbers at training, you know, they're strong. But yeah, I'd say Warren Point is the one to watch in Down. Definitely. I thought if you're talking about Derry, you know, I know there's Derry Exxon, but I thought that win over Corey in there recently was a big one. That, I mean, that's for a team that could challenge at Ulster, that's not, you know, I've got the squad for it. Like, and Shane Wigan looks like he was fine, but no, that was a wee while back.
Yeah, and just obviously straight away Cross McGlen is just 4-18 to 10 points, Mullabond the weekend, and you're just, it just depends on what level Cross are going to get to. They're always just going to be there or thereabouts. Is there anything in the is Antrim Championship gone back a bit, Rowan? They used to always produce teams that were there thereabouts for Ulster. It doesn't seem to have been the case this last few years.
It doesn't, but I think last year what you saw was there is teams getting closer to the guys at the top. That Lovejoy, Portland Owen, they played out three games to fight for Lovejoy to get to the final, and then they would have felt, like I know from speaking to guys in Lovejoy, they thought they were certain to win it. Like, Cargan have an older team, and I think they had like six, 8 or 9 scores last night when they beat Aldergrove, but the McCanns are still there. They've got a few younger guys too, like Pat Shivers. Still have Damien Cassidy. If Damien Cassidy is your manager at a club level, you're going to do business, like, because he did the business with Clonoe a couple of times. He knows how to get teams right for championships, and he really can squeeze the most out of it. Because I think last week in Gaelic Life, Joe Cassidy, his brother, said that's what Damien's skill is. He can squeeze the most out of a group of players. And so he'll squeeze the most out of that Cargan team. Just because the likes of Nick may be on the wrong side of 30 will mean nothing. They will be hunting. But that, the thing is, though, Lovejoy will have felt they should have won last year. Portland don't think they can win last year. By Dillon's manager of Portland, he told me, he's from Derry, he told me that he felt that Antrim Club Championship is getting stronger. He thinks that the teams are getting closer and it's more competitive. But I suppose, you know, outside of Cargan, the rest of them maybe don't feel that they can beat the teams. Outside of Ulster, you know, that's perhaps their fault, the point when they fall down.
Ronan, listen, fantastic stuff. Of course, we'll just give a quick mention to Derry Gonley, because they're 5-time champions, and a lot of people said that could have been their year last year. We'll not forget about our neighbours in Fermanagh. I think obviously not with an Ulster issue, but certainly Derry Gonley would be again the team in Fermanagh. That completes a great roundup. Ronan, thank you very much for that, and I'll hopefully catch you at a game soon.
Good man, thank you.
And thanks very much to my guest there, Ronan Scott, giving us a review of everything that happened in Ulster. And at the weekend, Oisín, the big two were meeting Termin and Glenfun, but it didn't live up to the billing.
In the ladies' football, the Donegal Senior Ladies' Championship, Brendan, Termin hosted Glenfun. I think it was 2-14 to 1-4 was how it ended. Glenfun were missing a couple of their big stars. Both of these sides you would expect to meet down the line in the final. Both had already secured home berths in the semi-finals, which are taking place this coming Sunday. But Termin were easy winners. Geraldine McLaughlin again scoring 1-9. Glenfun were missing Yvonne Boner. They were also missing Karen Guthrie and Annie McGlynn as well. So three huge players did not feature for Glenfun. But don't be ruling them out of the championship just yet. Wouldn't read too much into that. There might have been a bit of shadow boxing going on. But both are involved in semi-finals this weekend. Termin at the Burn Road are hosting Eve Connell, and Glenfin are going to be hosting Mavilla in the other semi-final. And both have home advantage, which of course is a huge boost. And they would be seen as two sides that are going to progress through to the decider again.
So yeah, and the hurling as well, Oisín, a bit like the ladies football there, five teams in it and two big teams that are certainly pulling away, and that's Setanta and Buncrana. They both play this week to see who finishes up one or two out of the five teams at the top standing. It's looking as probably going to be Setanta playing Burt or McCool's in one semi-final, and say Buncrana and St Union's in another one. But a bit like Glenfun and Termin, Setanta and Buncrana both really pushing it out there, looking at the sides that are probably going to contest the final. And if that is the same in the ladies, we have two cracking finals coming down in the Ladies Senior Championship and the Hurling Senior Championship. And that rounds it up for this weekend, folks. Another packed show. We have another great championship DL debate, the championship coming up next week, and look across all championships in hurling and football. We'll get a full roundup, and I'll talk to you then.
The DL debate presented by Brendan Devaney in association with Sarah's Kitchen at Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love. Book now to enjoy the Sarah's experience.